Hechel Menachem presents A Tale of Two Souls, an ongoing lecture series on the Tanya by Rabbi Yosef Yitzchak Jacobson. This is tape number 18 in the series entitled The Long Journey of Torah, recorded live at Hechel Menachem, Brooklyn, New York.
Good evening. We are in the middle of Perek Dalet of Tanya. In the previous classes, we have come to learn about that the garments of a soul, namely the mediums of expression of a soul, the instruments of the exposition of the nefesh, of the person, of the soul of the human being, are the faculties of thought, speech, and action, machshava dibra maisa. And in the case of the nefesh elikis, the divine soul, these garments of expression consist of the study of Torah via the instrument of thought and speech, and the performance of mitzvahs via the mediums of thought, speech, as well as the medium of action. The Alter Rebbe then proceeded to explain that albeit that the actual act of studying Torah and the implementation of its mitzvahs are merely garments, namely expressions of the soul, deeds, words, or thoughts, which convey the nature and character of the soul, and as such they would seem to be inferior to the essential internal experience of the neshama. Nevertheless, says the Alter Rebbe, upon deeper reflection we come to realize that the contrary is indeed the truth. The garments surpass the soul, and they surpass her infinitely. In the words of the Alter Rebbe, l'ein ketz v'sof. In other words, the value of the physical act of performing a mitzvah, or the simple utterance of words of Torah, as well as the mere external act of thinking words of Torah, is infinitely greater than the value of the internal experience of the soul, which is to be credited for motivating and bringing about the performance of the mitzvahs and the actions of the human being in thought, speech, and action. And the internal experience is what is expressed through these actions, and is something that moves and changes a Jew on a deeper internal level, rather than in his mere external behavior, totally independent of his inner being and his inner personality and character. Nevertheless, the external behavioral acts of learning Torah and observing mitzvah surpass infinitely the value of the internal experience of the soul. The reason for this, we learned, is because the soul, with all its spiritual greatness, with all of its celestial aspirations, with all of its holy characteristics, with all of its sublime passions, and with all of its aloof comprehension, is but a finite created reality. And as such, ultimately, it cannot bridge the infinite gulf separating the finite relative creature from its infinite absolute creator. Hence, as far and as high as the soul soars, it remains confined to the spiritual shackles of creation. But what about Torah and mitzvahs? Torah and mitzvahs belong to the domain of the creator. For as the Alter Rebbe explained, the Torah is the wisdom of Hashem. The mitzvahs are His very will and desire. And Hashem and His wisdom and will are truly one. In the words of the Rambam, he quotes, the knower and the mind are one. Hu hamada v'hu hayadua. So when a person, when the Jew learns Torah, he comes in contact with the divine reality, with HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chvedi ba'atzmai. The same is true when the Jew fulfills a mitzvah, he becomes an instrument of the divine will, thus creating a connection, the only possible connection, with HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chvedi ba'atzmai. Is it clear? Now, before we continue learning the text, one point still requires explanation. Throughout all of the Tanya, the author continuously refers to the above spoken about soul of the Jew as the nefesh halekis, the godly soul, the divine soul. to the extent that in the beginning of Perek Beis, he defines the soul as being a chelek alekami mal mamash, truly a part of Hashem above. If this indeed is the case, why do the garments exceed the value of the soul? What lies in the garments that the soul lacks? Why do we say that the specialty, the uniqueness of the garments lay in the fact that it is through them, and only through them, that man attains a true bond with Hashem? But apparently this very link and bond with Hashem exists within the realm of the soul per se. The soul is a chelek alekamim al mamash. Why then are the garments of Torah and mitzvahs, which the soul encloses itself in, which the soul bears, why are they infinitely greater? Why do they exceed infinitely the soul which bears these garments? Furthermore, when the Alter Rebbe over here defines the unique specialty and significance of Torah and mitzvahs, he quotes the words of the Zohar, that Torah and Hashem are truly one, and he explains this with the words of the Rambam in Hilchos Yesod HaTorah, that as mentioned before, he is the knower and he is the mind, the means of knowledge, the brain that knows. So by Hashem, his chachma is one with him. So the Torah, which is, so to speak, the mind, the perspective, the attitude, the vision of Hashem and Hashem himself are one. What is the source for this? So the Alter Rebbe says, on the top of page 16, on the top of Dav Ches Amud Beis, the middle of Perek Daled, K'may Shekasuv Le'el B'Shem HaRambam. Like it has been brought, like it has been said, like I have brought previously in the name of the Rambam. Where is this Le'el in Perek Beis? In what connection did he bring the Rambam and Perek Beis to explain how the Neshama is one with Hashem? He explained over there that Nefesh Hashem is B'Yisrael is Chelek Alekamim Al Mamish. In the beginning of Perek Beis, the second soul of the Jew is truly a part of Hashem above, and that is the meaning in the verse, Banim Atem LaHashem Alekeichem, you are children of Hashem. What is the Pasuk trying to say by employing the metaphor of children, that kemoi shehaben nimshach mimayach ha'av, kach kevayachal nimshach ha'kolish Yisrael, memachshav tivich ha'chmas yizbarach. Just as the child extends and is a projection from the mind of its father, the same is true, the soul of the Jew, of every single Jew, extends from Hashem's thought and wisdom. And Hashem's wisdom, he continued, is not like the wisdom of a human being, Elohu v'chachmas yechat. He and his wisdom are one, commercial cost of HaRambam, Shehu HaMadav Huayde, like the Rambam, the same Rambam, in Hilchus Yedatayra and Perek Beis, brought as well in Shmein HaPrakam and Hilchus Tshuva, that by Hashem, the Madda and the Yedaya, the knower, and the knowledge, the means of knowledge, the mind, are one. And the Rebbe continued also, that Davar Zayim B'Yichaylus Adam Lavini Aburya, this concept, how the mind and the knower can be one, is not within the ability of the human mind to grasp, but is beyond the parameters of human comprehension. So the very same Rambam, which the Alter Rebbe quotes over here to explain why Torah and mitzvahs surpass infinitely the soul, because they are from the domain of the Creator, they are one with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the very same Rambam that he is referring to, he himself quotes in Perek Beis, which explains how the Neshamis are one with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So there seems to be an apparent contradiction. Briefly, the explanation in this is by prefacing the meaning and the terminology chelek alekamim al mamash, truly a part of Hashem above. And we discussed it, though in a concise manner, when we were learning Perek Beis. The obvious question that many of you asked was, Hashem is indivisible. Hashem is not a composite of many parts. Hashem Echad, Hashem is one, is unified from every angle, from every corner, from every perspective. So what does it mean that the Neshama is a chelek alika, a part of Hashem? How can you define Hashem and divide him into compartments and parts? There's no way to compartmentalize him in any fashion whatsoever, physical or spiritual. So the answer for this is that indeed this explains the nature of the soul, and perhaps we can define it as an inherent paradox, which conveys the essential character of the soul. Let's revert a moment back to the metaphor that Alter Rebbe uses there. There is a father who gives birth to a child, a parent who gives birth to a child. The Alter Rebbe said that there is a microscopic bit of matter that originates in the father's body and triggers off the generation of a life. A life which is developed in the womb of the mother and ultimately becomes an independent, self-contained human being. The child, Alter Rebbe said, does not begin only in this microscopic bit of matter in the father's body, but rather is an extension, is a projection from the father's mind, thought, wisdom, personality, character, soul, which is then projected in a physical bit of matter, ultimately which is disposed from the father's body, enters the mother's womb, and turns into a living child. So, although we understand that the origin of the child and all its compartments is the very persona and character of the father, nevertheless it's quite obvious that a second entity has come into being. First of all, what results from the father's mind is a physical substance, a fluid, and furthermore, that very fluid develops and evolves further until it assumes an identity of a distinct creature, which has many compartments and organs and sinews and limbs, enters into a second body, and ultimately is given birth to and becomes an independent, totally separate human being. So although essentially, in essence, they are one, physically, there are two distinct entities. The child is a projection, an extension, a continuation of the father's personality, but nevertheless, he assumes a separate identity. Even the brain of the child, even the mind of the child, which even after it becomes a separate entity, is still very tightly bound up with its bearer, with the father, by the fact that it remained mind. It's still a projection of the father's personality, but nevertheless, it's a separate brain. It's a second brain. You're dealing with a second human being. The same is true regarding the neshama of the Jew, which is defined as that's the reason why the Jewish people are defined as the children of Hashem. True, the source and the origin of every neshama is Chachmas Yisbarach. Is, so to speak, the mind, the wisdom of Hashem, anthropomorphically speaking, Kivayachar. The makar and the sheirish, the root and origin of every neshama, is that chachma of Hashem. But just as in the metaphor, the father's consciousness and attachment of mind and concentration produced a physical bit of matter, and furthermore, this bit of matter further is developed and nurtured and evolves into an entire body, distinct and separate from its source within the father's consciousness and soul. The same is true regarding the neshama of every Jew, that though its origin and source is the mind of Hashem, nevertheless, it evolves and it metamorphosizes and assumes an identity of a soul, of a consciousness containing a persona and a character. And therefore, it is called chelik alikamim al mamash. What do we mean by chelik? Just as when we talk in the physical realm of existence, when you'll talk about a table, if the table is in one piece, you will not define the left corner of the table as a chelik of the table. The table is one entity. When do you say this is a part of the table? Is when a part of it is separated, it's cut off from the rest, from the remainder of the table, then you say this is a part of the table. When all the pieces of apple are connected together, it's one apple. When you cut off a piece, you say this is a chelik, a part of the apple. This is physically speaking. Over here, everything has to be stripped from the physical layers and attributes. So we're dealing, of course, in the totally metaphysical and spiritual realm. What do we mean when we say chelik alekayim amos? We are trying to denote that ultimately the neshama, although originating in the mind and, so to speak, in the personality, anthropomorphic personality of the divine, it assumes an identity consisting of a personality with aspirations, passions, instincts, cognitive faculties, tendencies, desires, etc., etc. It turns into a thinking, feeling, and achieving entity, true, aspiring to the divine, yearning to touch HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but nevertheless, still separate and independent to a certain degree. So every single neshama, despite its source, and albeit that quintessentially it is Chachmas Yisbarach, just as the child, the quintessential character of the finger of the hand and of the toenail is the Father's essence, the Father's soul. Nevertheless, it assumes a created identity. Thus, we define it as a chelik elikami malmamish. But Torah and mitzvahs is already another maisa. Over here, the picture changes. One second, let me just finish. Torah and mitzvahs are, in the terminology of Tanya, one with Hashem as they exist in this physical world. In Torah and mitzvahs, no change occurred, no metamorphosis happened. The Torah, as he explains here in Tanya, is the Chachmas Yisbarach, the wisdom of Hashem. As we open up over here a Sefer of Torah and we learn a word of Torah, or we implement, we fulfill a mitzvah, this is the very will, desire, and wisdom of Hashem, which is one with Him. Therefore, there's a very interesting difference between the soul of the Jew, the divine soul of the Jew, and the Torah. The Gemara in Brachas Daf Chav Beis Amud Aleph brings a brisa that Rabbi Yehuda ben Pseira Hayayimer Ein Divrei Torah Mekablin Tumah. Rabbi Yehuda ben Pseira used to say that the words of Torah are not susceptible to uncleanliness. The Gemara relates an episode. Ma'aseh b'Talmid Echad Shaya Megamgim L'Mayla B'Rabbi Yehuda ben Pseira. It happened that a disciple standing before his Rebbe, Rabbi Yehuda ben Pseira, spoke hesitatingly. He was Megamgim. He mumbled, stammered. Rashi explains why. Because this disciple was a Balkari. A Balkari is an individual who unwittingly or intendedly emits from his body procreative substance. And thus, he assumes a state of uncleanliness. So this Talmud was hesitating to utter his thoughts regarding the halachic sugya, the halachic issue that was discussed, because he was a Balkari. Rabbi Yehuda ben Pseira noticed this. Amar Lei, his Rebbe, Rabbi Yehuda told him, "Bni psach picha v'yiru dvarecha. My son, open your mouth and let your words be clear. She'ein divrei Torah mekablin tumah. Because words of Torah are not susceptible to uncleanliness, to tumah. Shenemar, as the pasuk says in Yirmiyah Chav Gimel, pasuk Chav Tes, Halekai dvarei ka'esh nu'um Hashem, ma'esh einu mekabel tumah, avdivrei Torah einu mekabel tumah. My word is like fire, the word of Hashem." So Rabbi Yehuda ben Pseira explains, just as fire is not susceptible to uncleanliness, so are words of Torah, which are compared to fire, not susceptible to uncleanliness. So therefore, although you are a Balkari, there is no problem with you uttering words of Torah. Do we say the same thing regarding the neshama of a Jew? That the neshama of a Jew does not have the ability to be mekabel tumah, to become unclean? Of course not. Constantly in Torah, we have the concept that a Jew, unfortunately, can blemish spiritually his very soul. Although his soul essentially is pure and holy and is defined as a chelik l'kam mal mamish, the Jew, by engaging in something which is contrary to the design of the soul, contrary to the aspirations and to the essence and the character and desire of the soul, harms spiritually and psychologically his very spiritual soul. And the reason for this difference between Torah and the Neshama Yisrael is that, albeit that both of them originate in Chachmas Yisbarach, the Neshama went through a change. It becomes a consciousness. It becomes a soul that becomes enclosed within the human body that assumes a personality of its own. And therefore, it is subjected to the trials and tribulations, to the ups and downs that our promiscuous world introduces into our lives. But Torah remains internally and externally. Every layer of its entity remains Chachmas Yishal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the pure, unaltered wisdom of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is one with HaYebrish to Himself. So this is the reason why the Alter Rebbe is saying that the garments of the soul exceed and infinitely the soul itself. Because although the Nefesh is a Chelek HaLekamim Al Mamash, its connection, it still needs Torah and mitzvahs to craft and create a true link and bond with HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chvedei ba'atzmei. The nefesh itself does not suffice. The nefesh, with all of its holy and amazing and extraordinary experience, still remains confined to a significant degree in the realm of creation. It is vaya, it encloses itself in external behavioral garments of thought, speech, and action of Torah and mitzvahs, which these belong solely and wholly to the, holy with a W, to the divine domain. It is via these garments that the neshama becomes linked and bond and connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chvaydei ba'atzmei. Yes. Baruch Hashem. Any questions? Coast is clear. Yeah.
The child, the finger, the toenail of the finger is still connected to the father through the mind because it nourishes through the mind. So therefore, ultimately, it's possible to have a connection to the Eibush, even without the toenail, because you have the tzaddik.
Okay. The question he's asking is that in that very same Perek, the Alter Rebbe explains that just as in the metaphor, the toenail of the child remains connected to its original source, which is the mind of the father, via the child's brain, via its own brain, because its brain did not go through such a drastic metamorphosis to other parts of its body. The same is true in the Nimshol. Alter Rebbe says that every soul, although it assumed an identity of a hand, a leg, a stomach, an eyebrow, a toenail in the spiritual sense, through its evolution, through the various worlds he discussed in Perek Beis, and we discussed that at length, it still remains connected with the mind of its father, with Chachma Da'atzilus, as he puts it, via its own mind, which are the tzaddikim, the great righteous people and the leaders and the scholars, the Talmid Chacham of every generation, which constitute the mind of the Jewish people, and therefore the mind never separated from the mind of its father. So via our connection with our minds, we are still connected to the mind of the father. So he's asking, so we're back to square one? What does Torah and mitzvahs accomplish and achieve in the soul's relationship to Hashem? It's a very good question, but therefore, I emphasized that even the brain of the child, you cannot compare to the actual brain of the father. In other words, although the brain of the child is what still creates a connection between the leg of the child to the original brain of the father, because the brain of the child is brain, and as thus, essentially, it did not change from its source, it remained brain, but nevertheless, it's quite obvious you're dealing with two distinct entities. Essentially, they're one, but physically, they're two. Furthermore, even the bit of fluid, which was disposed and created in the father's body, is still not the actual mind and personality of the father. It's a physical substance, it's physical fluid, which came from and as a consequence of the consciousness of the spiritual state of mind of the father. But nevertheless, even the tipa itself, even the substance itself, which is closer to the father than the brain, is still something separate. Certainly the brain, which although you cannot compare it to the leg, because the identity it assumes in the brain is a brain-like identity, and therefore still remains a projection and an extension of its source, is nevertheless a separate identity to a significant degree. And that is the reason you can ask even better. In light of Perek Beis, do tzaddikim have to do Torah mitzvahs? Do tzaddikim need tefillin? There's no question. Absolutely yes. Because there is a unique quality in Torah mitzvahs that the highest neshama, even a neshama which is compared to the brain of the Jewish people, in other words, a neshama that did not go through and was not affected seriously by the evolution of the world, but still remains the purity, the integrity of the first world of the realm of Atzilus, like the brain of the child, where the drop of fluid did not metamorphosize and change into a toenail, but rather still remained brain, and thus is an accurate projection of the father. Even over there is still a distinct identity. When you do a mitzvah, when you learn Torah, when you learn a blad gemara, when you put on a mezuzah on your door, over here, you are entering into the realm of HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chvaydei ba'atzmei that did not change a bit. Torah and mitzvahs are the instruments that Hashem gave us that allow us to taste and to become in touch in a very real way. Become one thing, become connected, linked and bound with our Father in Heaven. Yeah.
why does it come more holy? It's just to sort of say the only way that we can physically do mitzvahs, it's just a medium. It's not an entity that's higher than neshama. Just that's the way we express the neshama.
Okay, your question is, why does Dr. Rebbe say in Tanya that the garments surpass the neshama? It would seem that the garments themselves do not surpass the neshama. The garments are just the medium that create the connection between the neshama and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because Torah and Mitzvot are HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the garments are the medium. So why do we say that the garments surpass the soul? That is a very good question indeed. And therefore, I will emphasize what I have said in the previous classes, but not emphasized enough. The garments, when we talk about the garments, these are faculties of thought, speech, and action that exist in every human being. These garments are not the exclusive domain of the divine soul. The animal soul and the divine soul share identical garments. They both, just as the two souls share the same nose, pair of hands and set of feet, they do battle who should become the master over this set of hands and over these eyes, nose and mouth. But nevertheless, Hashem created us in such a way that we share the same eyes, and that indeed creates the whole mishmash of life. If he would have placed one soul in China, another place in France, there wouldn't be any problems. But he placed them both in one body, so there's a battle. The same is true regarding the garments of thought, speech, and action, that these are faculties that exist within the body, our ability to utter words, our ability to think, our ability to do, to implement. So the question is, who dominates these garments? Who gets these garments on his side? Who utilizes them? Either the divine soul or the animal soul. So when the Alter Rebbe began chapter 4 and said that the divine soul has three garments, which are thought, speech, and action, these are not exclusive garments that belong to the character of the divine soul. When you speak about the faculties of the divine soul, the 10 faculties, conception, comprehension, application, attraction, rejection, and so on and so forth, these are part of the personality of the divine soul per se. When you talk about the garments, these are activities of the soul, just as a hand, although more spiritually. And therefore, when he says that the soul has three garments, thought, speech, and action, the emphasis in the words does not have to be on the words Machshava Dibur Amais in the beginning of the Pedic, but rather on the next four words, Shel Taryag Mitzvah Hatera. The divine soul's garments of thought, speech, and action are wholly and totally directed to and filled with the 630 mitzvahs of the Torah. In other words, the garments, thought, speech, and action are the instruments and mediums that express the character of the soul. The only mediums and expressions of the divine soul are Torah and mitzvahs. In other words, the divine soul expresses itself solely via learning Torah and observing mitzvahs. So this is what we are defining as the garments of the divine soul. It's utilizing and filling up the ability to think, talk, and do only with the Taryag Mitzvah Satayra. Because that is how its personality expresses itself. Whether it's through thought, whether it's through speech, whether it's through action, its cognitive persona expresses itself via thoughts of Taira, its emotional and functional experience via the speech and action of Taira Mitzvah. So now we understand, when the Alter Rebbe continues and says the garments of the soul exceed the soul itself, what does he mean? He means the behavioral consequences of the soul surpass the internal experience of the soul. Albeit naturally you would think, of course the behavioral consequences are important, but their mere value are as expressions of their motivator, of their creator, of their crafter, of their molder. So he says, no, the behavioral expression exceeds infinitely the internal motivator of this expression. Is it clear? Yeah. Yeah. He's asking, also a wonderful question, very good questions today. On one hand, we talk how Torah and mitzvahs are infinitely greater than the souls of the Jews. On the other hand, we know that the souls of the Jew have the right to decide in issues of halacha, to debate issues of halacha, to create halacha, to create rabbinic ordinances and commandments on prohibition, and furthermore, to argue what are indeed the 613 mitzvahs of the Torah. So how are we to reconcile these two facts? The neshamas, which are totally inferior and infinitely inferior to Torah and mitzvahs, how can their relative and weak mind and subjective hearts determine what is Torah and mitzvahs, which is infinitely greater than them? That is a very good question. And it will be understood in light of what Alter Rebbe explains in the continuation of this very perek. Okay, let's continue inside. Again, we are up to Daf Ches Amud Beis, the first line on the top. After the word Harambam, we are up to the words Va'af, but the words Va'af to HaKadosh Baruch. V'af da HaKadosh Baruch Hu Nikra Ein Sof. Although the Holy One, blessed be He, is called Ein Sof, infinite. And the Pasuk in Tehillim Kuf Mem Hei Pasuk Gimel tells us that His greatness can never be fathomed. And no thought can apprehend Him at all, which is a statement in the introduction to Tikkunei Zohar. Daf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph, we say it Friday before Mincha in the section called Pasach Eliyahu, which is the introduction of Tikkunei Zohar, that lays Machshava Tfisa Beklal, V'chein Biritzayni V'chachmasai, and so are also His will and His wisdom, infinite and unfathomable. So the same as we say regarding the Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Himself, that He is Ein Sof, and His wisdom is unfathomable, and He is unfathomable, the same is true regarding His Ritzayni V'chachmasai. How do we know Kediksit? As it is written in Yeshaya Perek Mem Pasuk Chav Ches, Ein Cheke Lutfunasa. There is no searching of His understanding. Uksiv, and it says in Iyav Yir Aleph Zayin, HaCheke Releka Timsa. When you will search to understand Hashem, will you find? Uksiv, and it further is written in Yeshaya Nun Heches, Ki Lai Machshavai Se Machshavai Seich. For my thoughts are not like your thoughts. Nu'um Hashem, says Hashem to the human being. So the question the Alter Rebbe raises, if this is true, that Hashem is unfathomable, no thought can apprehend Him at all, and the same is true regarding His will and His wisdom, that they are totally infinite and unfathomable. My thoughts are not like your thoughts. How can it be said that the Torah that man grasps is Hashem's wisdom? How can it be said that the mitzvahs that man fulfills is Hashem's desire? If Hashem is infinite and unfathomable and by no means can be comprehended by the human being, and the same is true regarding His will and His wisdom, how can we say that these mitzvahs that we are fulfilling, mitzvahs which we grasp what they are, what constitutes His will, it is very clear to us, it is defined, it is articulated in our terms, how can we say this is His unfathomable will? How can we say that the Torah that we are learning is His unfathomable and infinite wisdom? If that was the case, that the Torah that we're studying, learning, is His wisdom, how do we have the ability to grasp it, to understand it, to comprehend it, to apply it? The fact that we can understand Torah as we do, we understand the wisdom of Torah, the logic of Torah, albeit to a certain degree, but we do comprehend it, proves, apparently, that this is not His wisdom, which is one with Him. It's something else. It's not His very wisdom. If it would be His very wisdom, how can we relate to it? How can we grasp it? The Pasuk says, Ki lei machshavai se machshavai seichem. If this is His wisdom, how do we understand it? This is regarding Torah, the same is true regarding mitzvahs. If mitzvahs are indeed His will, how can we relate to them, understand them, and grasp? And how can we relate and grasp it and understand it? When Hashem says, when there's a mitzvah in the Torah, that on the 15th day of Nisan, we should eat matzah, that is a mitzvah which we understand. We know very clearly what is His will. It's a defined will. Take unleavened bread, which is not fermented, which is called matzah, is dark and usually burnt, and get it down your gullet. That is a very clear, defined will. Take hide of an animal, make out of it phylacteries, and place it on your arm and on your head. It's a very clear, defined will. If this is Ritzainai, if this is his will and his desire, how is it possible that us, mortal, finite, relative human beings with subjective, finite minds, can comprehend it and grasp it? That is the question that Alter Rebbe raises. So what does this bring us to conclude? One of the two. Either the Torah and the mitzvahs we are learning and implementing are not the wisdom and will of Hashem. There's something else. The Torah that we are learning is not this very wisdom. The mitzvahs we are implementing is not this very will, and therefore we can grasp them. Or perhaps they are Torah and mitzvahs, but Torah and mitzvahs should not be exalted to the extent that Alter Rebbe exalts them as defining them as Chachmasa and Tzeinu Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which are one with Him. One of the two we have to choose, seemingly. But to say that it is His wisdom and His desire which is one with Him, and if it's one with Him, there's no searching of His understanding. When you will search His understanding, you won't find anything. His thoughts are not my thoughts. And we say, this is the Torah. So how can we learn Torah? But we do learn Torah. So what is going on over here? This is the powerful question that Alter Rebbe addresses over here. So he continues and he explains. The question is understood. So Alter Rebbe continues and explains. Hinei al zeh amru. Concerning this disparity between human intelligence and divine wisdom, we can quote the statement of our Chazal b'makim sha'atamaitzik d'las ish l'kadosh baruch hu sha'atamaitzian v'smusay. Where you find the greatness of the Holy One, blessed be He, there you find His humility. And this is the Gemara in Perek Bnei Yair Megillah Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Aleph. The Gemara says, Amar Reb Yechanan, Kol makim sha'atamaitzei gvurasi shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu atamaitzian v'snusi. Where you find the might of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there you will find His anava, His humility.